Right. You're Spencer?
I'm Spencer. And your name?
Clyde. Well, I was Billy, but I'm Billy Anderson. But nice I'm Clyde now.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And you were saying you were starting at the top. You were born on the 4th of July.
Born on the 4th of July at St. Joseph's in Tacoma. And on 2 days after I was born, my grandma came in, picked up my mom, and a friend of hers that was on the Puyallup Tribal Council brought me down to the dock and kind of showed me around a little bit to some of their friends that were there. And then about 2 months later, they brought me down to swim. And that was my baptism, my immersion in the Salish Sea near the dock at Dash Point. And my mom was really wonderful when I was growing up at Dash Point Elementary School. And at the time, I was dyslexic, but there was no defined circumstances and identifying traits of dyslexia. I was just essentially the retarded word, okay? No special needs or anything. He's just he can't do it, okay? And I had a wonderful kindergarten teacher named Virginia Keller, and she never pushed me. And I didn't speak until I was like almost 6 years old. But my grandma and her friend, I can't remember her friend that was on the Puyallup Tribal Council, because she had bought the property that my grandma and grandpa built in 1917 up on the hill from Jerry Meeker and a guy named Big Head Bob from the Puyallup Tribe. And so the people that my grandma knew from the Puyallup Tribe just said, keep bringing Billy down to the beach, to the water. Now the Puyallups used to come there to fish and clam, but they didn't live there. And they lived down, you know, in the valley area where the river was, but they came out into this area to fish and clam. And I just continued to go to the beach all the time, and all my school friends and everything. When you're at the beach, nobody cares if you can read or not, you know, or whether you can follow the instructions at school.
Right.
It's just, we were all together, and we used that tennis court and basketball court, and there was a kind of a competition between the guys, the kids like me that lived up on the hill, and the people that lived down at the beach. And when we would come down to the beach, we were kind of trespassing. And all of my friends that I went to school with, we were friends, but we kind of had, you know, we had groups, we had kind of little cliques and stuff. And then when they would come up into the wells up where we lived, we would like follow them and chase them around and chase them through the woods and blah, blah, blah and everything. But anyhow, everybody got along. And there was a Dash Point Social and Improvement Club, and every other year they'd have the Dash Point Dock Dinner, and they'd have the Hillbillies versus the Beachcombers kickball and baseball tournament up at the what used to be the elementary school there, the big old stone building that's still there. It's a state historical building, and now it's used as an, I think it's Bates Vocational Technical School has a child development program there. And even through high school, I mean, we'd meet and we'd all meet at the dock and we'd all jump off the end and swim to the beach and blah, blah, blah. And there was never any, the only restrictions were is if we were doing something wrong and our parents found out about it, then we'd get whacked, okay? But other than that, there was no, you can't build a little teepee out of logs, you can't build a fort, you can't dig in the sand, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So then after high school, even during high school and junior high school, I tell my mom I'm taking our dog Lucky and I'm going down to Sandy Beach. And I'd just stay Friday night and Saturday night there. My mom would give me, you know, cans of beans and tuna fish and crackers or something. And she knew we were that, and if I was with some of my friends, one of my friends that used to do that, she at that time she was Koya Nyland. And she's here attending this because she loves the dock also and the park and the beach. So all through high school, it was a kind of gathering point. And there was, you know, we would cuss and swear at each other and we'd push each other around and stuff. But we were all Dash Pointers, and we really didn't know, but we loved each other. I mean, even all the kids that used to push us around when we came down to the dock, and all the guys that came up from the beach up into the wells for whatever they were doing. And we'd, you know, pretend like, hey, what are you doing on my turf, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But as it turns out, now half of them, I've outlived almost half of them. I'm 77 now. And it seems like I got back about 3 years ago, because after high school, struggling with not being able to read because of dyslexia, I scored really low on the military aptitude tests and blah, blah, blah. And I tried to go to college, but that didn't work. And I lost my deferment, and I ended up in Vietnam. And when I was in Vietnam, I just did stupid stuff, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't really a terror. Well, depending, okay? But I never broke any federal guidelines about hurting Americans or any of the Australians or the Koreans that were there as allies. But I didn't follow all the rules. And it was really difficult for me when I got back, because I had a bad conduct discharge and I was reduced to private E1 after a couple of court martials. And so I left, because there were families in the community whose children had died in Vietnam. And then I came back and had a beard and long hair and started talking about how stupid the war was and everything. So I was essentially, my family was career military, and they all told me to leave. So I did, and I kind of kept in touch throughout the years, but never moved back. And I bankrolled and protected all of my family members that had told me to get out before. And now I live in the house that my grandma and grandpa built in 1917. But when I came back, one of the big reasons I came back was Sandy Beach, which used to be called Fairview, and the dock. And that's why I came back. And when I came back, there was rules and regulations and stuff like that. But I feel very comfortable being there. And, you know, there's people that have signs, end of park property, private property begins here. But to me, it's all just open between the dock and the state park beach. And so some people struggle with it. But one of the things I want to share with you is that in the meantime, I married a woman from the Philippines when I was working in Japan for a while. I set up preschools all over Asia for the Department of Defense at their bases. And I married the aunt of a little girl in my class, a four-year-old girl, arranged my marriage, okay? And it's been good for 25 years. And my wife, being from the Philippines, she recognizes whether she's welcome or not and comfortable, or whether there's a feeling of prejudice. And I was at the beach all the time when we first moved back. And I got a boat, and I love water skiing and playing and blah, 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 and kayaking. But after a while, she quit coming down with me. And she said all she heard about was all of these, I'll just be open with you, you can censor it if you want later, all these goddamn Asians that are down here tearing up the beach, tearing up the dock and everything. And she said, I would hear it from the people that you were hanging out with. And so she said, you know, give me a chance, give me a couple of years, I'll get used to it. And then a woman that grew up in Lakota moved back last year, and she and my wife have become real friendly. And she loves to water ski with me. And so anyhow, she's kind of coaxed my wife into coming and, you know, being part of it. But that was a real hard transition for her. But I just want the dock to be there. And all the people that are concerned about parking and everything else, well, the guy that owns the restaurant down there, Gino's or whatever it is, you know, there's people concerned that parking is limited. But he's letting people in and out of the closed parking area all night long, his customers. And so when I was growing up, we used to go down there at night all the time. Well, I've been told that I have to leave the park at dusk and everything, so I go for a walk, and then when the security's gone, we just sit on the... We don't build bonfires or tear stuff up. We just sit there, because listen to the waves and be at the beach. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of feeling that the park is being overrun by non-local bad people. And I think to myself, I was gone for a long time, probably from 70 to just 4 years, 3.5 years ago. That's almost 70 years. Well, no, it's 30, 50 years, okay? And you know, people don't get along everywhere, okay? And so, I just hope the dock stays. And I hope that's what the park will decide. It's like, to me, and my friend that just moved back here from Boston that used to live in Lakota, she goes, why can't we share it? You know? And really, when I was growing up, all the people along the beach fished off the dock and off boats and that. But a lot of the people that live in the park area now, they don't go there. They don't go to the beach. They don't swim in the water. They very seldom go on the dock. And you hear all the stories about garbage and needles and vandalism and stuff like that. And this is 2023. What are we going to do? The whole place is like that. I mean, where can we go in a park? In Tacoma or wherever where there's not people misbehaving? And I would hate to see that feeling be so strong that we're denied the opportunity to have our dock. I don't even know what it's called now. And then it was St. Teresa's, the little mission church, up on the top of the hill. And that was Irish Catholics and blah, blah, blah. And it's almost like up above 509, up on the hill, Catholics. And down below 509, down at the beach, primarily Protestants. And sometimes it was really funny to watch our parents, because my parents only had friends that were Catholics. And even if they lived at the beach, they were their friends. Okay. But the other people that lived at the beach that were Protestants, oh no, we knew them, but yeah. Okay. And it's really interesting. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. So I'm 77 now, when I go to the beach, I like to go down every day during the summer and swim. And I take snacks with me, you know, bananas and apples and beach toys and stuff with me a lot. And I just hand them out to the kids that are playing there. I worked in Head Start for 40 years. And so that's what I know, little brown kids, okay? And I just hope it gets to stay. I hope the park can keep it and to not be afraid of our behavior. I mean, all of our behavior. The people in Federal Way that never get to be by the beach, like on a weekend or whatever, and they bring their kids down, they're so beautiful. And when I was working in Head Start, it was all with people of color. You know, the lowest economic strata and the children from those families. And I come back to Dash Point, and my God, everybody's white. And I take my wife to Winco over in Federal Way because there's people from Africa there's people from Central America, there's people from Asia, there's people there that work there that are Filipinos, and she can talk with them and laugh with them and stuff like that. But it's different at Dash Point. And I don't mean to, well, you kind of look at our meeting here. I just met a tall black man by the name of Cornell, and it turns out he lives kind of like up the hill from me. But I hope I get to see him around some more, because that's where I spent my adult life, was in with people of color. And it ain't Dash Point, okay? I'm sorry, but it's the truth.